Please take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. When you arrive at 1 Samuel 17, find verse number 46. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 46. And then let's stand together. I'm going to read a few verses out loud with you, starting with 1 Samuel chapter 17. And verse number 46, the Bible says this, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." It came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Meet with us. Help us to realize that the battle is the Lord's. Might we get in that battle, please, and in the right way. Holy Spirit of God, work in our midst. Help the young people who are not well trained to learn how to behave in church. Help the young people who are well-trained to obey and do what they've been taught to do. Help all of us to give our attention to thy Holy Spirit so that we might leave this place being more capable and more able to glorify Jesus than when we came in. Bless us with thy presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. This is, of course, the story of David. It's a story of David and Goliath. Goliath of Gath was the champion of the Philistines. Probably, this man was a very, very tall. I don't know exactly how tall he was, but he was a big, big man. And this man named Goliath, he was verbally threatening God's army. He was belittling them. He was humiliating them. And he was challenging them publicly. There was a king at that time. The king's name was Saul. Saul was head and shoulders taller, or they said Saul was head and shoulders above all men in his kingdom. King Saul was leading his army, and he was probably about 12 to 18 inches taller than everybody else in his army. So you've got this great big goon named Goliath, and he was a massive man. He is belittling and mocking God's people and God's army. King Saul was the biggest man in his army, and he didn't want to fight Goliath. And the army, all the men that were in Saul's army, they didn't want to fight Goliath. There's a young man by the name of David. He wasn't even in the army. He was at home. He was at home attending to his father's sheep and flocks. But his dad said, "David, I want you to take some food and some supplies to your brothers down at the battle." And so he shows up, David shows up at the battlefield, if you will, and he has provisions for his brothers. He probably had some cornbread and beans and probably some apple pie in there somewhere, some sweet tea. And boy, they were glad to see him, but he shows up. And about that time, this overgrown goon named Goliath begins to mock God's army and mock God and belittle and tease and scorn. And David looked around, and it just seemed as if every man in God's army had no interest whatsoever in doing anything about it. David glanced over. King Saul wasn't going to do anything about it. And so, as we all know, David takes on the challenge when nobody else took on the challenge. And I wonder if it was that some of them, maybe one soldier looked at it and said, "Well, that Goliath, what he's doing really has nothing to do with me. This is not my problem." Maybe even Saul felt that way. But David felt very differently about it. David seemed that there was a cause greater than maybe even David's cause. And so we all know the story. David steps up. He takes a sling. He takes a rock. He puts that into that sling. He puts that rock. He casts it at Goliath, and it hit Goliath in the head, and Goliath falls over. David ends up chopping Goliath's head off. Now, Goliath, this battle that took place, this battle, David actually tells us why David stepped up. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 47, look at it. It says, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's." David, I think, told us why he was willing to step up, and he tells us why he did what he did. David said, "The battle is the Lord's." Since the battle is the Lord's, he said, "I've got to step up. This is God's battle. I've got to do this God's way. I've got to please God with it." And he did exactly that. And David makes it clear, the battle is the Lord's. Now, there might be some people in life that would say, "Well, look, if the battle is the Lord's, then I'm excused from fighting." I'm very sorry, folks. When we got saved, we were enlisted into the Lord's army. We all sing the song at, "I'm in the Lord's army." And we sing that song, and we think it's a cute song for the children to sing. But folks, we're a part of God's army. And you say, "Well, it's God's battle. I'll let God fight his battle." Now, let me tell you, I think a lot of Christians, we almost have developed a total welfare mentality about Christianity. Here's what we think. It's all about us. I there are a lot of benefits, folks, in Christianity. But just so you understand, this isn't all about you. And it's not all about me. It's all about the Lord. We ask God to fight our battles. Well, and he'll get involved in our battles. But we are so self-absorbed, we just think this life and everything we go through, it's all about us. Really, that's not what it's all about. It's all about him. We ask God to come fight our battles, but the truth is, we're supposed to be fighting his. What happened, there are a lot of people that look at this story of David and Goliath, and they virtually describe and they mentally say, that battle, that David's battle with Goliath, and we almost turned it into, this is David's battle with Goliath. It wasn't David's battle at all. David showed up and realized somebody had to step up for God. And the king didn't step up for God. And none of his generals or captains would step up for God. He wasn't even an enlisted man. It wasn't David's battle. This guy wasn't mocking David. This guy wasn't tormenting David. Goliath was not belittling David. He was belittling God. And David said, somebody needs to shut this overgrown goon up, and somebody's got to step up and do something. This wasn't David's fight. But David loved God enough to say, it's not my fight, it's God's fight, and I'm getting in it. I thank God for that. Folks, don't get so self-absorbed that you think this is all about you, because it really, it's not all about you. It's all about him. Did you know that God is not your soldier? You are to be God's soldier. So God's there if I need him, so I can call him, come fight for me. Actually, you're supposed to be there if God needs you so you can come fight for God. We have it just backwards. And we think about it in a backwards way. Yeah, there are all sorts of benefits to Christianity. Boy, he's our protector and our shield and our buckler. But don't lose track of the fact, he's the one that's in charge. It's really all about him. People too often see the battle between David and Goliath as if this was David's battle. And David made it very clear in the scripture. He said, the battle is the Lord's. And David found himself in it. Stay with me for just a few minutes and let me expound on that thought. Let me say again what I've already said, but I make it the first point of my outline. The battle is not man's, but the battle is the Lord's. The real battle, folks, in this life, whether we understand or not, it's over things like truth and right and holiness and love and the souls of men. These are some of God's qualities and the things that God loves. You know, when we get in the battle for the Lord, we're getting in it for the things that are important to God, the things that mean something to God. The Bible says in Psalm 45, verse number 4, "And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness." Folks, we need to get in this battle for the Lord. And the battle's not all about us, it's all about the Lord. Hey, we ought to be concerned about the glory of God and our defending that glory and our standing up for Him and the battles that our God faces. Don't lose focus. There is a devil. He hates God. And as you see everything going on in our nation, let me promise you, you think it's all about our patriotism to the United States of America. Really, if you want to know the truth, we are one nation under God, and that's what starts the big fights. That's what causes the big problems. That's why we have moral wars going on. That's why we face what we face. It is not because of that the nation we call the United States. It is because of the God of that nation and the Christian liberty that we have in that nation and the Bible that we have believed in that nation. There's a war that goes on. Hey, when you look at a presidential election, it's not really all about the Republicans and the Democrats. It's all about Jesus and the devil and a fight that rages in our world today. Don't lose track of what this is really all about. The battle is not man's, but the battle is the Lord's. There's something bigger going on here than what's going on in your mind and in your life. Did you know that it is not your name that primarily needs to be defended? It's the name of Jesus that needs to be defended. More important than your name is the Lord's name. More important than my name is the Lord's name. We're asked to fight in His battle. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, He said to us, "Fight the good fight of faith." Folks, He is worthy of our service. He is worthy to be our commander. He is worthy to have us fight His battles. And you and I, when we got saved, if God wanted to, He could have saved us, killed us, and taken us to heaven. But He didn't. Now, you probably think He left you down here so you could make money, eat good food, enjoy the good life, build something for you. He left you here as a soldier in the Lord's army because there are multitudes of people that need born again and their lives need changed, and we need to reach our world for God. That's the whole reason you're alive today, Christian. Everything else is secondary. And God is to be primary. But we think we're here to fight our battles and He's our soldier to come work for us. No, we are here to fight His battles and we are soldiers at His command. We get it just backwards. You know, folks, if you're not careful, you'll soften your mind and you'll lose track of the spiritual warfare that we face. We're to fight for His family, not just for our own. We're to fight for His name, not just for our own. We're to fight for His house, not just for our own. We're to fight for His reputation, not just for our own. We're to fight for His wants, not just for our own. I'll tell you what, there are people that'll take up the cause and they'll fight for their family and fight for their name and fight for their house and fight for their reputation and fight for their wants. But they won't fight a lick for God because it's really all about us. That's not, David knew. David looked at this thing and he said, "The battle is the Lord's. I didn't cause this fight. This isn't my fight. I didn't cause the fight." Goliath was mocking God. He wasn't really necessarily mocking David. Now, he did throw some innuendos at David after David stepped up and said, "I'm here to fight God's battle." But you, I want you all to understand something, folks. In our lives, you have opportunity to step up and fight the battle for God. Now, so the battle is the Lord's. Secondly, the right way to think as we fight this battle, it is a scriptural way. I'll have to tell you something. When you go to battle, you need to be thinking right. You've got to think right if you're going to go to war. You've got to think right if you're going to go into battle. So let me give you some things. If we can get this thing straight, if we can get it right that the real battle is the Lord's and we are soldiers in His army, He's not a soldier in ours. It's not all about you and He's there to support you. You're supposed to be there to help Him and to serve Him. And if we'll get that right and we'll get that in our thinking, I think we'll accomplish something good for God. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our thinking. We are His soldiers and we're there to help Him. For instance, you say, but preacher, our opposition is too strong. But wait, who can stand against the Lord? You say, if I go to battle with the devil, how could I do that? You and God can handle old Smutty Face. You won't handle him on your own, but God doesn't require that. God just wants you in the battle, and He wants you to remember who your real enemy is. Folks, your real enemy. In all actuality, I don't know that it's the bartender. Your real enemy is the devil. The bartender is just a pawn and the devil's disposable soldiers. But your real enemy is the devil. But you and I, we might say, how could I fight the devil? You will fight the devil aided by the mighty God of the universe. You said, the devil is strong, but our God is stronger. Amen. Say, Satan is wise, but our God is wiser. Say, Lucifer is big, but our God is bigger. And this is not all about your battles. It's all about His battles. And we are to fight those battles with the right mindset, realizing you and God make a majority. And when you get in the battle, it's a little scary. Hey, don't you think when David looked out at Goliath, David was basically a very young man that had not even enlisted in the army. He was taking care of his dad's flocks and he shows up on the battlefield and Goliath of Gath, which was he was over 9 foot tall according to the scripture. This was a powerhouse. This was a guy that had been proven in battle. He was all the way at the top. Don't you think David looked at it and said, I feel like I'm a little bit outnumbered. I'm outweighed. He's got more artillery. But David said, but this battle is not dependent on me. The battle is dependent on God. I will go to battle and God will help me to fight the battle. And he did, and it happened. But he knew the battle was the Lord's and he had the right mindset as he went into that battle. Folks, when you battle for the Lord, you're not limited by your weaknesses. Don't ask yourself, who am I to fight for God? All you got to ask yourself is, whose am I? Whose am I? I think that there are military men that when they leave our country and they go on foreign soil, there's a little fear. You go on foreign soil. But I'll tell you what helps them to keep their chin up. They're from the United States of America. You say, well, what would that cause them to keep their chin up? They're backed pretty heavily with some pretty big artillery. Let me tell you something. You need to go to war. Say, how could I? Well, just remember, this isn't your battle. It's His battle. And we are from His nation. And when we step foot on the devil's territory, you say, I'm a little scared. Hey, hold your chin high. We are backed by the God of the universe. And there's some pretty big artillery backing us up. But we got to think right. You're not limited by your weaknesses because God is going to help you. The devil's strong, but God is stronger. And Satan is wise, but God is wiser. And Lucifer is big, but God is bigger. And I think that the Lord deserves for us to fight for Him. And I think fight furiously. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Folks, we owe Him so much. We ought to fight. And we ought to fight hard. We ought to fight willingly for the cause of Jesus Christ. We ought to be willing to risk our lives. He gave His life for us. What do you mean? Don't quit on God. Don't quit on God. There are people under the sound of my voice. You're going to get so caught up in your battles It won't be long. You'll be out of the will of God. You'll be out of church because your life is all about your battles. And the truth of the matter is you need to realize you need to hang in there because your life is really all about Him. It's really all about you fighting His battles. And we need to not quit and to keep on going. There are people in here, you're AWOL already. You don't fight for God. You fight for yourself. You fight for you, but you don't fight for God. And we need to fight when we do, and we need to use His weaponry. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." We shouldn't fire God's cannons using the devil's gunpowder. Now, you're going to fight for God, then you fight for God using God's artillery. You say, what is that? He believes in the weapon of prayer. We use the weapon of truth or scripture. We use the weapon of love. We use the weapon of patience and faith and the Holy Spirit of God. But we're to be battling for God. And honestly, I see in Christianity today a bunch of virtually self-centered people, and their life is really all about them. They don't see that, you know, can I tell you why? Can I tell you, everybody here, can I tell you why you need to keep your family straight with God? Because there's a bigger cause than your family. God wasn't trying to get you to raise your kids just so you didn't get embarrassed. Because it really is not all about you. God was trying to get, God wants your marriage strong because your marriage is to fight for the cause of right and for Jesus. And God wants your children to turn out right, not because it's a feather in your cap, because it's a feather in His cap, and they need to be soldiers in the army of the Lord. And you need to clean up your life, not because you're a better person socially. You clean up your life because you need to be strong enough to fight the devil and do something for God. And we are so caught into, it's all about me. We're so self-absorbed. My money's about me, and my house is about me, and my marriage is about me, and my kids are about me, and everything's about me, and me, and me, and me. No, it's all about Jesus Christ. And this life is not about your battles. This life is about His battle. And the reason we're alive and we're to stay strong and victorious is there's a war to fight. But we're self-absorbed. The Christianity of these days is so into themselves. Me, my, mine, my. Wow. Hey, we're to use His weapons. Did you know that in God's army, you never run out of ammo? God never rations the bullets. You say, I want the power to defeat the devil. All right. God said, pray. How many bullets are you going to give me? Pray without ceasing. That's a rapid-fire, never-ending machine gun. You can fight as much as you want to fight. And did you know something? Prayer doesn't cost you a penny. You say, I'm poor. Poor has nothing to do with prayer. You say, I'm dumb. Dumb has nothing to do with prayer. You say, my body's weak. Weak body has nothing to do with prayer. You say, I want victory, then you pray. And it doesn't matter how poor you are or how sick you are or how uneducated you are. You say, but I'm a new Christian. Doesn't have anything to do with prayer. Prayer is available to the young Christian and the old Christian. And God said there's a battle to fight. And that battle is my battle. And I think God would look down and say, I wish some of you would get out of some of your own battles so you could come help me with the big war. We have a special confidence in regard to this war. Get this, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. You know what's going to happen? We're for sure winners. We're going to have victory. We are on the winning side. How many of you ever heard the name Dr. Curtis Hudson? Dr. Curtis Hudson followed Dr. John R. Rice as the editor of the Sword of the Lord newspaper. I was in Bible college. Dr. Curtis Hudson ended up with cancer, and it ate away at his body. I'll never forget it. It was just a handful of days before he passed away. I watched him standing in the pulpit at my Bible college, and he was there to preach. And I mean, he was shriveled up. His skin was wrapped around his bones, and you could see his bones and his joints. He was about to transfer from earth to glory. And I will never forget watching him take his Bible. He'd do this with his Bible when he preached sometimes. He stood up and he began to sing, "Well, I'm on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side." And he sang, I'm telling you, heaven opened up. The glory of God came into that auditorium. Dr. Curtis Hudson had fought a battle. He'd picked up the knife called the sword of the Lord, and he had fought for Almighty God. He knew he was on the winning side. And I don't think he was all worried about himself as a soldier. I think he was all worried about the God that the soldier was serving. Folks, you know, when at the end of the war, we're not going to take you and lift you up and put you on our shoulders and do a victory march through town. So what are we going to do? We're going to pick Jesus up, and we're going to put him on our shoulders, and we're going to march through town victorious. You see, the battle's the Lord's. And there's a mindset. We're on the winning side. There's a mindset. We need to realize this is not all about us. It's all about him. I really believe this. You go to every section and every pew, if you will, or chair. Everywhere you go, I don't know what you face this week, but I'm going to promise you that everything you face, whether it be a negative or a heartache or a burden, somehow it was attached to the big war. It was the devil trying to slow you down in the big war. So we've got to realize there is a war that goes on. Now, let me say this thirdly and I'll be done. Our battle strategy, not only do we have to have the right mindset, but there's some strategy to winning war. And I think if we'll use God's weaponry and we'll use his methods, we can win that war with him. Let's fight using his methods. Hey, don't fight in any way that would disappoint him. You and I, you say, well, I fight dirty. Well, if you're going to fight in God's war, you have to fight God's way. Say, I'll get him! Your way is revenge. And God said, nope, that's not one of the weapons I give you. It's not revenge. Don't fight in any way that would disappoint him. The correct result of winning the war is him receiving glory. Don't let his battle become a selfish little project of yours. I was in fundamentalism, and us preachers, we can be pretty odd birds sometimes, and I realize that. But I just every once in a while, you'll find a guy in the fundamental Baptist movement, if you will. He's walking around just making sure everybody knows. I'm the primary warrior. I am the primary warrior. I'm a general in God's battle. Last time I heard a guy say that, this is what I thought. You're not my general. I'm a private. Jesus is my general. Whether you like it, buddy, you're a private too. We got a general. We're a bunch of foot soldiers, every last one of us, and we're under his command. We do this by living by faith. We learn to trust God while we're fighting for his cause. We have faith in his commandments. We have faith in his strategy. We let the cause be his cause. And let me tell you something. If you're not careful, and the cause is your cause instead of his cause, you're going to get off track. You think it's all about you and yours when it's all about him and his. And when you think that way, it was said in the Bible, is there not a cause? Yeah, and there are some causes that are secondary. But too many of us make ourselves and ours the primary cause and him the secondary. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Look, if not his cause, but your cause, you'll start making some personal judgments about whether it's worth it or not. Well, what am I going to get out of this? What's in it for me? Do I get what I want? Look, this isn't about you getting what you want. It's about him getting what he wants and what he needs. And so you know, if you're in it for his cause, it's worth whatever you must pay to please him. Sure, well, I'm not willing. Then this isn't, you're not fighting for his cause. You're fighting for your cause. You have found that there's something more important to you than his cause. Right, look, if it's your cause instead of his cause, it will confuse you about expected victories. Did you know this? I want everybody here, I want you to have victory. But did you know your life is not about your victory? Your life is about His victory. Did you know something? If you have to suffer a defeat for Him to get a victory, so be it. I don't like that. I like that health and wealth Christianity that says everything's going to turn out just marvelous all day long, every day. There won't be any bumps in the road. Folks, it's a bumpy road. You can't have everything you want. You can't go everywhere you want. You can't do everything you want. You can't have it your way. Why? You're a soldier. And really, it's not all about, I hate to tell you this, it's not about your comfort. It's about His. It's not about your desires. It's about His. You see, if it's your cause instead of His cause, you'll be confused about victories and you'll be confused about defeats. If it's your cause instead of His cause, it will magnify fears on your part. See, we fear for ourselves most of the time because the cause is ours. Am I going to get what I want? Am I going to get out of this what I want out of this? Let me tell you something. Jump in the battle, fight furiously for God. He is then going to get what He wants to get out of it. Yeah, but what am I going to get? If I tithe, Pastor, what's in it for me? Wonder if nothing was in it for you. You're to do what you're to do because this isn't all about your money. It's all about God who gave you everything you own. Well, if I serve God, will He heal my body? Maybe He will, maybe He won't. But you better realize something. This isn't a deal that you make with God. He is God. We are His servants. Suck it up and serve Him. So what am I going to get out of it? There's plenty for you to get out of it. But if you don't get what you want, you're still supposed to fight for Him. But we're in it for us. And there are so many benefits to Christianity. And I'm not trying to cast a gloom over those benefits, but we all need to get down to the bottom line. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's not all about what you get, what you want, what's in it for you. He gave you the best thing He could ever give you. Salvation, you inherit the whole shooting match. Between now and when we get to heaven, He said, I left you there to be a soldier. You're not here to be something pretty for us to look at. Because if you were, you're failing terribly. Hey, you say, but Pastor, if I'm busy fighting His war, who's going to fight mine? Well, I guess if you're so busy fighting His, maybe He would fight yours. But if you're busy fighting your own, you want to handle it? You want to do it your way? You want to connive? You want to figure it all out and take care of it your way and twist and do what you do? Go ahead. I think I'd rather be busy fighting His battle and say to Him, I'm busy with yours. I got a problem here. He can better take care of yours than you can. While you fight for Him, He will fight for you. I read a historical account of Queen Elizabeth requesting a very successful merchant seaman to join her Royal Navy. Very wealthy man. Made all of his money with his ships. And Elizabeth said, come and help me. I want you to leave your business world and take your ships and take your men and come help me fight my battle. And he said to her, if I join your navy and fight your war, and attend to your business, my business will be ruined. And Queen Elizabeth said to him, you mind my business, I'll mind yours. Let me tell you, the reason why some of you won't get what you want is because that's really what you're all about. If I were God, and I said, I want you to fight for me. This is all about my war, not you. But you spent all your time attending to you. I'm not sure I would meet everything that you want. If you give yourself to God like you're supposed to, then you need help. Don't you think God's fair enough, just enough, and capable enough to come and say, hey, let me help you. You've been busy fighting my battle. We have in Christianity today, maybe more than I've seen it in a long time, we have this thing that it's all about us. That's not true. It's all about Jesus. I'll probably regret making this statement, not because I think it's wrong. It's because I think someone will misinterpret it. I said this to the men in our men's prayer breakfast the other day. People have this opinion. It's all about family. It's all about God's family. It's all about God. There are people that will serve their families and do what's best for their family and put that above God, and that is a dangerous thing to do. I am not minimizing the importance of family. I am maximizing the importance of God. God is at the top of the Christian totem pole. And He's supposed to be there. People that say, well, I'm going to stay home fellowship with my family and be disobedient about being faithful to church. That's wrong. That's just wrong. You say, why? Because this isn't all about you. It's all about Him. And remember, He saved us. He could have taken us to heaven. Why didn't He? Because He left us here. And He didn't leave us here so we could eat Twinkies, go to McDonald's, play some video games. He left us here as soldiers in a war, a real war. The battle, David said, is the Lord's. David didn't cause that fight. And I think David glorified God when he came out of the other end of it because it wasn't his fight in the first place. And folks, you and I, make sure you're in the battle. I really, really believe this. Let me tell you what happens. People won't fight for God. They won't stay involved and do what they ought to for God. And then all of a sudden the devil attacks them. The devil attacks their kids. The devil attacks their marriage. The devil attacks their finances. And what do? Oh, God, fight for me. And God's saying, well, you don't fight for me. You can be glad God's a better Christian than you are. Because God will kick in and figure out how to help you. But if I'd recommend it to some of you, you remember that. You don't fight for God. You don't fight for right. You don't fight for the truth. Then suddenly you need God, so God chips in and helps you out. Next time, you might want to remember, you should have been fighting for God all along. But I do believe some minimize the help that they get because of the investment that they would not make. The battle is the Lord's. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. There's a battle that rages over the souls of men. If you're here tonight and you're not born again, you need to get saved. We don't want you to die and go to hell. That's a battle, believe me. That may be one of the biggest battles that churches and Christians that are right face. Over the souls of men, people being saved. Well, I want to be comfortable. I want what I want. Well, what you better want is that you're influencing as many people for salvation as possible. But if you're here tonight, you're not saved. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know I'm going to heaven. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I don't know that if I die today, I go to heaven. Pray for me. All right. Good. Fantastic. Listen, those of you that are unsaved, if you want to come tonight during the altar call, we'll take a Bible and we'll show you how to be born again. If that's what you'd like, you come. I'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Now, to those of you that are born again, you say, I know that I'm saved. I know that if I die tonight, I go to heaven. Do you need to think a moment about what battle are you in? Are all your battles about you and yours? It's all about you. Protect you. Protect your stuff. What you want. Your will for your life. Or is it all about the war that rages? And the battle in which we are to be soldiers, He is not there to serve us. We're there to serve Him. And would you say, I might need to recalibrate my thinking about the wars of life and realize it's really all connected to my defense, my love for God. It's not about me and what I want. You would say, I need to rethink some things maybe in my life. Would you raise your hand, let God see it, and let him know that you know. Maybe you've not battled with His ultimate glory maybe in mind. It's about you winning and your victory and your feelings and your desires. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, if you're not saved, if you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. And you can win a great battle for God, and that is trusting Christ as Savior. If you're a Christian and you say, I kind of need to push the reset button on what it's really all about. I have found myself a little self-centered about what I want, my will for my life, and how I want it to be, and where I want to be, and what I want to do, and what I want to accomplish, and my dreams, and my desires, when really all of that, that's not what it's all about. It's all about Him. All about Him. And you might need a moment at the altar to say, God, help me to get that straightened out. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Christian, if you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and say, you know, Lord, I look at all these battles. I lose track sometimes. It's all about You. It's not all about me. You have a passion for victory in your life, and that's good. I want you to, but be careful now. This isn't all about your life only. It's not all about what do you get out of it. It's all about what does God need to get out of your life. The battle is the Lord's. We fight for His family, not just for our own. We fight for His name, not just for our own. We fight for His house, not just for our own. We fight for His reputation, not just for our own. We fight for His wants, His desires. We fight for His dreams, not just for our wants, not just for our desires, not just for our dreams. And if you have to choose between what you want and what He wants, you're making the mistake by picking what you want. You say, but I'm not sure I could get in the battle. What good would I be? Well, it's not all about who you are. It's all about whose you are. You say, but the devil's so big, but God is bigger. You say, but the devil's so strong, but God is stronger. The devil is so smart, but God is smarter. You fight for God. You join in an effort with Him, His battle, His will, His cause. You say, but I'm worried about me. God's got your back. You ought to be worried about Him. And that is what the Christian life is. We're concerned about what does God want? What does God need? Well, who's going to take care of me? God. God. We're on the winning side. The piano will continue. There are folks receiving the gospel. If you're not saved, if you're not sure if you die today, you'd go to heaven. Why don't you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again. I love what David said. He said, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. David said, I'm going to fight for God. I'm going to step up. I'm going to fight for Him. And God will provide the victory. I'm not sure David was saying, I'm going to fight the battle. I won't be wounded, but I'll beat you. No, I think David thought there was a chance he could be wounded. You know what? David could have killed Goliath, and David could have died in the process. But the enemy would have been conquered. And I think David would have said, it was worth it. It's worth it. It's worth me risking myself to do what I was supposed to do for God. Are you willing to risk what you think is your happiness to accomplish something great for God? There's some in here that won't. So self-centered. So self-consumed about you and yours. Oh my. Name takers, if I can get a decision and a name, you can finish the decision slip in a moment. One more time through the song, Sarah, if you will. We want God to fight our battles for us. But in all reality, we were enlisted to fight his. Oh, he will fight our battles. I am not minimizing God's ability to fight for us, love us, and defend us. I am maximizing the real intent of the Christian life. It's not all about us. It's all about him.